From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome.
Nyquist and Exaggerator, they're coming to the line together. And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not this time, is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, not this time. Classic Empire, Classic Empire by a neck, not this time. They finished a street in front of the rest.
It is Exaggerator in front. No, Nyquist switches back to the outside. Exaggerator down to the 16th pole. The Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second. And then Stradivari followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna. I am up at the Big A Aqueduct Racetrack down in our Lexington studios. It's the Pontiff, Jude Feld, and our producer to the stars here at HRRN, Lee Delapina. Thanks for tuning in with us on this spectacular Saturday morning. I'm here at Aqueduct watching the horses train a little bit. Sun right behind the racetrack here, and there's not too many, euphemisms you could use about the Big A. Neil Drysdale once described it as a nuclear wasteland when he had Fusichi Pegasus here in 2000 getting ready for the Kentucky Derby in the Wood Memorial, but it's a place I've called home for 39 years, so I could say anything bad about it. Hi, Jude.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's cold and rainy and kind of gross here in Kentucky this morning, but we'll make the best of it.
It was about 900 degrees at Aqueduct yesterday inside the building. I don't know if it was like it was in the mid-60s here. Next, we've had a little bit of an Indian summer few days here in the Big Apple, and it was in the mid-60s outside, and they just decided not to turn the heat off, and I was baking in here yesterday. So I decided to fight the good fight this morning with my shorts, a pair of flip-flops, and a short-sleeve shirt. I walked out of the house. It was about 42 degrees, and it is absolutely freezing inside of that today. So, I got godsmacked.
Yeah, we deal with that here too quite a bit. Yesterday it was very high 70s, maybe approaching 80 degrees. 30 degree shift in temperature to today at least, and so it's yesterday was so beautiful. Went out to Old Friends Farm. Got kind of a personal tour with Michael Blowen, and it was just a gorgeous day, blue skies. I posted a picture on Instagram and one on Twitter, and it couldn't have been a more beautiful day yesterday in Kentucky. And then this morning,
got to hang with a Derby winner.
Yeah, got to hang with Silver Charm. That was fun. He's a cool horse. Lots of cool horses out there. If you come to Kentucky, you should go out to Old Friends and have a visit with some of the greats and near greats. It's totally different today. It's very cold. You know, we talked about on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview the chance of maybe a softer turf at Churchill Downs today. I don't know what the weather's going to be like in Louisville. They said it was going to be nice, but it's not very nice here in Lexington.
It blows my mind still when you were telling me about Silver Charm yesterday. He was a 2-year-old 20 years ago.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
And he looks great.
That Derby, and more specifically, that Belmont Stakes, I remember like it was yesterday. It was 20 years ago. I don't know. Speaking of Kentucky Derby winners, even though the Breeders' Cup is over, 2014 Derby victor, California Chrome, in the news yesterday. And it looks like the place he's called home training-wise, at least for the better part of his illustrious career, could be hosting a race for him on December 17th. A $100,000 to be named overnight stakes might be in the works to get Chrome his prep for the $12 million Pegasus down at Gulfstream Park on January 28th.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Talk about class relief from a $6 million purse to $100,000. It's a little different there, but I don't know who they'll get lined up to run against him, but somebody will, I'm sure.
Well, Dortmund won the what's the 2-year-old race now, the Grade One at the end of the meet. Is it the what used to be the cash call over at Hollywood Park?
Yeah, I think, is it so the Los Alamitos Futurity now? I think so, yeah.
Los Al Futurity. Yeah. So Dortmund won that, so I'm sure he'll try him for the umpteenth time. And they'll think they'll have an advantage because they want to race over at Los Alamitos. But we'll say, yeah, should be interesting to see if Chrome gets to flaunt his stuff in front of his hometown crowd down in Cypress, California. That race would be December 17th, so just about 4 weeks from today. And we'll see what Team Chrome decides to do. Tell you the Baron, Mike Bennett, is on vacation. That doesn't mean you will not hear him this morning. Here's Mike with a few words about MLS Power Sports.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here to tell you all about my friends Mark and Trish Smith at MLS Power Sports in Georgetown, Kentucky. I recently purchased an ATV and trailer from MLS Power Sports, and I can tell you firsthand, they'll greet you with a friendly and knowledgeable staff, and they're passionate about off-roading, whether it be for work or play. MLS Power Sports is Kentucky's largest Arctic Cat dealer and Central Kentucky's largest pre-owned off-road dealer. Today is the final day to take advantage of their factory authorized clearance with the lowest prices of the year on 2016 models and rebates up to $3,700 on non-current models. It is a great time to get the best deal on your new side-by-side or ATV. Visit MLSPowerSports.com and stop by and see them today.
Is that a rhetorical question?
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. The Pontiff and the Big A taking you through a couple of hours this Saturday morning. Action-packed show. We'll go to break in just a few. When we return from the break, we will hear from Eric Johnston. He's the Director of Racing Operations over at Penn National. Wednesday night is the Thanksgiving Sprint Stakes out at Penn. You'll hear those right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Trainer Anthony Margotta, you may have listened to his trainer talk presented by Fasic Tipton earlier this summer. Mike and Jude did a fantastic job. Anthony, a great, great story. Anthony Margotta pretty much could be summed up by it's never too late. He has Pleasant Mind in the Safely Kept down at Laurel today, part of the DeFrancis Memorial Dash card. Ton of stakes on the card down at Laurel today. Anthony Margotta Jr. will join us a little later on. Then in hour number two, Brian Lynch. He has a couple in the stakes here at Aqueduct today. Fled in the Notebook, and the likely favorite, Heart to Heart, multiple graded stakes winner, Heart to Heart in the Artie Schiller. And then we'll end the show with Fred Hutton, the Director of Racing Operations down at Zia Park. Land of Enchantment Day Wednesday. Big Wednesday here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll have all of the Land of Enchantment Day stakes from Zia, as well as those Thanksgiving sprints from Penn National on the Elongated Express Bet radio show. We'll be on 3 to 7:30 Eastern this Wednesday coming up. So Thanksgiving Eve, you can spend it with us here following the stakes action at Zia Park and Penn National. We'll take a break. When we come back, Eric Johnston from Penn National will join us. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
Adina Spring Stallion Point of Entry, a 5-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dinah Former's global legacy, with first crop weanlings already realizing six-figure sums at both Keeneland and Tattersall's in Newmarket. As a racehorse, Point of Entry was a truly great American turf horse, becoming the first since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined 9 lengths.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths. A Hall of Fame ride it was. Point of Entry wins the Sword Dancer,
and they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup
on a 5-race winning streak.
Point of Entry returned the following year to win the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf and Grade 1 Manhattan, and also displayed the ability and the pedigree to perform at the highest level on dirt. Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs in Paris, Kentucky. Visit adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
Claiborne Farms Flatter is carrying the flag for AP Indy, rewarding breeders in the sales ring and on the track. Among the nation's leading sires by Grade 1 stakes horses in 2016, this year's stars include Terrace, Upstart, Kobe's Back, Amy's Flatter, and most recently, Paola Queen, winner of the Grade 1 test stakes at Saratoga. Success on the track has led to big numbers in the auction ring as well, with yearlings this year selling up to $425,000. Flatter at Claiborne Farm.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn for the wire after a half and 45 flat. And it is Favorite Tail leading it by about a length and a half here. Amelia's Wild Ride is second to the outside. Then Jackson the Deck trying to come on now. Galliano inside. Then Majestic Husser. Favorite Tail clear though with 70 yards to go. Majestic Husser's inside second. Favorite Tail, Javier Castellano. They take the Fabulous Strike handicap. Looks like it was Majestic Husser second. Perhaps in a photo there with Galliano. And Amelia's Wild Ride appeared to be fourth.
Favorite Tail was fresh off a third-place finish in the Breeders' Cup Sprint behind Run Happy in Private Zone. He went down to Penn National and took the 2015 renewal of the Fabulous Strike. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The Big A and the Pontiff. What could be better?
Nothing.
On a spectacular Saturday. Nothing. What do you call us? Tons of fun?
Tons of fun. How could that be bad?
Miss Megan Devine has been joining me on Express Bet Radio, and she'll be hanging out for the next about a month or so. And I broke that out on her yesterday, and she was hysterical.
Yeah, well, she would drop the average weight by about 200 pounds, I would think.
She's riding weight.
Yeah,
she's
I know.
She's riding weight. Depending on the clerk of scale, she's riding weight.
Yeah, do the step over, right?
Well, joining us now from Penn National, Director of Racing Operations, I actually got to meet, you know, so many of these interviews we do, Jude, you know, me being up here in New York, I don't get to meet our guests that often. But this past June, I got to meet our next guest. It's Eric Johnston from Penn National. Eric, it's the Big A, and Jude, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you having me on this morning. How's things in lovely New York?
Everything's all right. Jude's down in Lexington. I'm here in New York. We actually got to meet. I was just telling Jude, I don't get to meet the guests very often, but we actually got to hang out a little bit at Penn this past summer.
Yeah, we had a grand time there on Penn Mile Day back in June, and we're going to do that again this year. Hopefully you'll be making the party.
I will be. I'll be out of Penn this year. Yep, looking forward to getting back out there and getting some of those you know, the only thing that matters to me, I'm just looking forward to getting back out there, seeing some good racing A and B, getting some more of those Philly cheesesteak rolls up at the up at the bar.
Everybody loves
We'll see if we can't hook you up with a couple of buffet comps too while you're in town.
I remember too that I wanted to get dessert and Mike and Michelle were too full. And you guys have, like, this oversized chipwich there. And I was literally like somebody just told me that Santa wasn't real. I didn't even know what to do with myself that night.
All right, well, I got something that's going to make you blow your mind. They added a new dessert in our final cut, which is our steakhouse here. It's a cheesecake. This is a $10 piece of cheesecake as big as your head. It literally feeds a table of eight. And it's incredible.
So I'll just grab two and I'll be all right.
Hey, we do some horse racing down there, too. We do more than just eat, you know.
Yeah.
I know you do. And I'm sorry, go ahead, Jude.
The racing there is so great, and the facility is fantastic. It's a beautiful setting for racing with the mountains. And then, you know, you got beautiful weather in the summertime, of course. And you know, everybody's having a great time. I really enjoyed going there. The first time I went was for the Penn Mile a couple of years ago, and I just thought, wow, this place is fantastic. And I've told a lot of people about it, you know, because in the old days, Penn National wasn't a real posh place to go. But I tell people all the time, you got to make that trip. There's just a lot of history in that area, and the racetrack is great. And you guys do such a fantastic job of treating everybody when they come to the track. I mean, the fans just seem to really enjoy the racing there.
And that's exactly right. You know, we do have a great location. We're probably the best kept secret on the East Coast. And, you know, with as many tracks that are located within a 200-mile radius around us, we have to wow them with something. And we cannot compete with New York on the purse level. So we have to hit them with customer service and do everything we can. You know, obviously there's always going to be a challenge here and there anytime that you're trying to line up as many horses as you do every day. But, you know, we do everything we can to try and make the horsemen feel at home, make it comfortable, make it easy enough to get in and out and do what they have to do.
Well, your barn area is so beautiful and you know, nice accommodations for the horses and then the casino is fantastic. I mean, so it's a great venue, a great place to maybe get away for a couple days and go up there and enjoy the races and enjoy one of Big A's favorite spots, the Hershey Factory. And you know, I just think it's a great little spot that people need to take advantage of.
Yeah, you have so much history in here. You're about 40 minutes from Gettysburg. You're about an hour and a half from Philadelphia downtown, you know, down to see the Liberty Bell and all the big sights down there. You're really not that far out of New York City, and you're close to Baltimore. It's just, you know, it's well-centered in the middle of everything that you could ask for in the Northeast.
And, Eric, for a place that has a casino, you know, I've been to a number of these racetracks with casinos that they really abandon the horse player. It's the exact opposite there. Like, the fans are rabid, for the lack of a better term. There were a couple of thousand people out on the apron the night of the Penn Mile. Plenty of fans coming up to the booth where we were situated outside. And you know, like I said, a lot of places you don't even know there's a racetrack outside. That is not the case at Penn National.
No, they took their time when they built the place. You know, they passed the law for the casinos to come in and the slot machines to come in at the racetracks. And several of the tracks just went out and they stuck slot machines on the floor of the main grandstand, whatever. Penn National took a different approach. You know, they already had a couple of casinos up and running. They knew what worked. They knew what didn't. So they tore down the entire grandstand and made an integrated facility. We got a great simulcasting area with over 100 seats in it and 40 TVs that you can sit and watch the simulcast during the day. You got 550 seat dining room overlooking the racetrack, box seats, free seating. It's and a great apron. You know, the apron is as close to the races as you can get anywhere. So it's a lot of fun. And anybody that hasn't been there needs to make the trek on Wednesday night.
Yeah, especially on Wednesday night, a wonderful card put together. The stakes action, the Thanksgiving Penn Stakes start in race number two with the Blue Mountain Juvenile Fillies. This is a race that was won in spectacular fashion last year by Burnix Bank. Of course, it's for the two-year-old fillies, and she jumped onto the scene and jumped into the scene with an explosive win. She followed up a maiden win with a big score in this Blue Mountain Juvenile Fillies. Do we have another Burnix Bank looming this year?
You know what? This field is balanced. I mean, there's a couple of horses in there that look are certainly going to get to play. You got Lava Test that's coming off a 14-length win, and a horse that won the Maryland Million Juvenile a couple weeks ago. So there's some really competitive animals in this race. You know, for Pennsylvania breds, when you see something like Burnix Bank go out there and win in the fashion that she did last year, it is just really impressive, because I think her time for the night was actually faster than Favorite Tales, who won the Fabulous Strike for the same 6 furlongs. So.
Yeah, you got the Maryland Million Lassie winner, like you said, Item in here. Big last out maiden right. winner, La Vitesse, who's the 8-5 favorite for Scott Lake. Boy, Scott Lake, he's won a race or two at Penn National, hasn't he?
He has. You know, he started his career there at Penn and has moved on to bigger and better things. And he still comes back and supports the home team on a regular basis. So we're always glad to see when he comes into town. And, you know, you talk about trainers in there. Rodrigo Madrigal right now has probably got the best win percentage with the two-year-olds this year. I mean, he's just been killing them. Everything he's been running over has been lighting up the board. He's always got one or two horses for every two-year-old race that we run. So I think he's really going to be strong in there. You look at Iamph, and I think I'm pronouncing that right, Iamphy. You know, he breaks his maiden by 10 3/4 lengths at his last out in September. She should be sitting ready to go, and Jeremy Rose back on her. So it's going to be a fun race. It'll be a great way to great second leg to the pick four for the night with the three stakes. And you know, once you get through this one, then you got a little bit more of a challenge coming up in the next two.
Yeah, how about that Fabulous Strike? That race is pretty tough. You got Chubbalicious, Jersey bred, who's really fast, Can Dip, one of the best sprinters around, Awesome Speed, Weekend Hideaway. That's a heck of a field there.
Yeah, I think Weekend Hideaway may be one of the best kept secrets on the East Coast. Phil's done a great job just kind of cherry-picking spots in New York and picking some of those New York bred races. And I don't know if we really know how good this horse is, and we'll find out on Wednesday. The big question right now is there's a lot of cross entries between us and the Francis, which runs Saturday, and then you got the Fall Highway coming up. So everybody's kind of playing a little poker game here, keeping quiet, not saying a whole lot about who's going to end up where. Read yesterday on the Daily Racing Forum that Phil is most likely going to stay here with Weekend Hideaway, but he is still, you know, kind of keeping his eye on the Fall Highway and see what happens up there. So it's going to be real interesting, and obviously something that's not going to come real clear, or it'll get a little clearer after this afternoon when the Francis runs down at Laurel, and then Wednesday night we'll know for sure who's going to be there.
Yeah, Phyllis said he's definitely going to come out of the Francis, and it's either going to be the Fabulous Strike or the Fall Highway here, right here at Aqueduct. But you still got an excellent field. Trouble Kid is going to represent the Ramon Preciado barn. And this is a horse that throughout his career has kept some good company. You see horses like Delta Bluesman and XY Jet in his trouble line and his running lines. And when he gets away from those horses, he's been pretty potent, as evident by that money allowance with at Parks last time by almost 12 lengths.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that horse is really, really strong. It looks like he's in good shape right now. You know, it's going to be, you know, 22 days from his last race, so I think that fits right in his wheelhouse. With, you know, look to where you bounce back. You know, it took him a little bit longer to come off of the 90th or the Hall of Fame into that race at Parks. So I think the 22 days, 3 weeks, you know, that should be about a perfect fit for him.
Well, Eric, you guys do a great job out there. I look forward to seeing you in June. For the Penn Mile,
absolutely.
That was won, of course, this year by Catch a Glimpse. She beat the boys. And I know you'll be up my way. We won't be able to cross paths. You'll be up in New York next week for the parade.
All right, Big A, you're the man I got to ask here. Now, somebody touted me on a place of Mario Batali's up there called Eataly. Is it worth the trip?
Eataly is not just a restaurant. Eataly is a for the
it's like a food pavilion, I understand.
I say, yeah, I sound like such a fat guy when I say this, but it's like a food fair. It's like an amusement park for guys like me. It just has everything in it. There's like pounds and pounds of cheese. It's heaven. It's essentially it's heaven.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go check it out when I get up there this week. So if you get a chance, stop over to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and see me, and we'll have a great day on Wednesday night. Thank you, gentlemen.
Sounds good. I'll send you a text. I'll shoot you a couple of my my Manhattan spots so you're well fed when you're in the Big Apple.
You're my hero. Thank you, sir.
You got it, Eric. Thank you. Eric Johnston from Penn National. They have the Thanksgiving Penn Sprints this Wednesday night. You can hear them right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll take a break. When we come back, one of our favorites here at the Horse Racing Radio Network, Tony Margotta, will join us. But before that, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
The adage that all good things are worth waiting for was never better illustrated than when Alfred G. Vanderbilt's mare Geisha dropped her one-month overdue foal on March 27, 1950. The newly arrived gray colt was by 1945 Preakness winner Polynesian and most fittingly was bemonikered Native Dancer. In an absolutely brilliant career, he won 20 of 22 races. He was endeared by the American public and affectionately referred to him as the Dancer or the Gray Ghost. Huge crowds surrounding the paddock when he raced, transfixed by the combination of a majestic bearing, icy calmness that he displayed before his races, and they rushed down to the rail to catch a glimpse of Native Dancer charging down the stretch to victory from way behind, eating up huge chunks of ground with his 29-foot stride. Native Dancer's reputation preceded him in his very first outing in April of his two-year-old season. He was sent postward a 7-5 favorite and sprinted off to a 4.5 length win in breaking his maiden. A bare 4 days later, he came back to roar to victory in the youthful stakes at odds of 4-5. Never in all the rest of his days on the racetrack did he ever go off at odds any higher. He suffered a shin injury in the youthful, but he returned to the races in superb form 4 months later at Saratoga in August. He found himself in the winner's circle in the next 7 races in a row, the highlight of that streak being equaling of the world record for 6.5 furlongs in the running of the Belmont Futurity. Ankle problems delayed his first start in his sophomore season until April at Aqueduct in the Gotham Stakes 2 weeks before the Derby. He won the Gotham by 2 and romped home in the Wood Memorial by 4.5 to thereby establish himself as the overwhelming favorite in the run for the Roses. But that early May day in 1953 was not to be his day, and the chart of that Derby tells the story. Chart caller's comment read like this: Native Dancer, roughed at the first turn by Money Broker, was eased back to secure racing room, raced wide in the run to the upper turn, saved ground entering the stretch and finished strongly, but could not overtake the winner, although probably the best. Unquote. Writer Eric Guerin blamed the roughing at the clubhouse turn for the loss. Others pointed to the suspiciously large ankles of Native Dancer. At any rate, all observers agreed that in one more stride, Dark Star's victory by a head would have been instead another victory for the Dancer. After 3 hard races in 3 weeks, conditioner Bill Winfrey may well have expected to give his spectacular gray charger respite from the racing wars, but the Dancer was shipped to New York, where he won the Withers, and on the very next weekend he was on hand in Baltimore to nail down the Preakness. That was 5 wins in 5 consecutive weekends. Well, he finally got a break before galloping off to score in the Belmont Stakes and followed that with 4 more consecutive wins. Soreness in his left forefoot prevented him from meeting the 4-year-old sensation Tom Fool in the prestigious fall handicaps, and as a result, Tom Fool was named Horse of the Year. Native Dancer continued having physical problems as a 4-year-old, going postward only 3 times, but he did win all 3. He scored in the Metropolitan and Oneonta handicaps, packing 137 pounds in the latter. They were so impressive, he was finally accorded unanimous Horse of the Year honors in 1954. Through his bloodline, Native Dancer was responsible for a raft of outstanding thoroughbreds, Kauai King, Majestic Prince, Raisin Native, Coastal, Affirmed, Exclusive Native, Genuine Risk, Ruffian, and one of the world's all-time influential sires, Northern Dancer. That, my friends, is the story of the Grey Ghost, truly a legend in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What is it about Tony's steaks and seafood that makes it such an incredible dining experience? Well, it could be the steaks. One reviewer said, "This is steak nirvana." Or how about the great seafood, the incredible atmosphere, and service that's unmatched anywhere? All of those things. It's Tony's of Lexington on Main Street, right across from Triangle Park. Come in and become part of Tony's family.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Royal Trip at bay, and Tapazar a sterling performance today.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of Champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler. At stud, Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list with two more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power. Passion, performance, you know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Okay, this is Carl Nasker, and I listen to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
As the leaders turn for home, Blushing Huber trying to fend off the challenge of the big favorite Pleasant Mind. With an eight to go, here comes Pleasant Mind now on the outside. And Pleasant Mind runs bottom foot ahead in front. Blushing Huber now back to second. On the outside, it's Kate the Great third, but Pleasant Mind beginning to edge away as they come to the finish. Pleasant Mind will prevail at 1-2. Pleasant Mind has it by 2 on the wire. Blushing Huber was second, then Kate the Great, and White as Cotton.
Keith Jones on the call. Pleasant Mind taking an allowance contest down in the Philadelphia area at Parks. She'll try Stakes Company for the first time today in the safely kept down at Laurel. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for a vacationing Mike Petta, joined as always by the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We go out to our phone lines now, and our next guest has one of the best stories in all of racing. Again, cannot a testament to it is never too late. And someone I've known for the better part of my life, and Tony Morgata, Anthony Morgata Jr. joins us now. And it's Anthony and Jude here on the Equine Forum. Welcome.
Hey, great. Hey, guys, thanks for having me again. It's a privilege to be on the show. Appreciate it.
Now, unlike Eric Johnston, who I didn't meet until last June, and what is the? What, I'm 39, so what do I know you, about 32 years, 33 years?
Yeah, better part of you, like you said, just on coming on the show, yeah. So I turned 55 on January 7th, so I've been on the racetrack since I'm 18.
Yeah, so that's about right. That's about right, about 32, 33 years. Remember everything from, and I tell the story all the time, my dad was short on payroll. He went to Anthony one day, and Anthony didn't have it. So what did Anthony do? He went and borrowed it from my dad. That's the kind of guy Anthony Morgata Jr. is.
Hey, so, I love your father.
I'll never forget that story as long as I live. I was there with my own two eyes to see it. I'll never forget it. Doing good. Guys are doing great right now. The barn is barn's going well, hitting at a 25% clip on the year. And this filly, Pleasant Mind, who was she runs in those green, black, and white for St. Elias. She's having some year, Anthony.
Yeah, she's really developed nice. You know, she didn't have too much of a shot as a two-year-old. She's pretty big, and, you know, she's more of a late developer. You know, you see the pedigree there, you know, about a Pleasant Tatmare. So, you know, she's been a blessing to us in the barn, and I'm really grateful that Vinny gave me a shot with her. And today, hopefully, we'll win the stake and get some black type on her and continue to have her move forward.
When I was in New Jersey this summer, I came and visited you. We had a really nice conversation in your office, and you told me about this filly. I was able to get down on her at 380-1 when she broke her maiden.
There you go. Yes, yeah, we have to make another visit next year. You look like you gave us, you brought some extra luck to the barn.
Yeah,
you did real well.
Well, happy to oblige. I love Monmouth Park, and it was great to have that visit with you. And I talk about it often, but this filly, I think you liked her back then, but I think she's maybe even exceeded your finest expectations, huh?
Yeah, you know, I've always liked her. So I had her at the farm when I was down there at Kruby's Newcastle last winter. And, you know, we're preparing to get me – Jimmy sent me a few horses to Monmouth. And, again, she hadn't made it as a two-year-old. So, you know, she had a few issues. But we brought her down to Monmouth. And, you know, she trained good on the farm. And she also trained good at Monmouth. And, you know, I was real happy with her. We ran in the first time, and she won, you know, convincingly first time out. She beat some couple nice horses in there, actually, one of McLaughlin's and another one of Todd's. But I ran her back. You know, we had a hot spell, if you remember, over the summer. So we had a real hot spell there, and I gave her a proper amount of time. I ran her back, and, you know, she had an electrolyte imbalance. We call it the thumps. And, you know, I used my protocol standard protocol for that. We got her past that. And then we, you know, gave her a race in Parks, the one that you just, the stretch ring you just heard. And then we were pointing towards, as Vinny said, you know, I'd like to get some black type on her, Tony, see what you could find. And it is a three-year-old filly race today. It's not her best distance. She does want to run further, but I believe she's got enough talent that she may overcome that and possibly win the race today.
Well, her last race was spectacular, winning by 8.5 lengths. And I really like her today. I just think you've got her headed in the right direction. It's not an easy race, but it's not like the toughest race ever either. And she's just doing so well. Looks like she's one of the sharpest fillies in the race.
Well, I hope you make a parlay and a connect for a first race.
Anthony, after she had the only loss of her career, you opted to put the blinkers on. You cut her back, too, put the blinkers on, and she caught a sloppy track down at Parks that day. It looks to me, I went back and watched the replay, and I could be wrong. It looked like she didn't really care for that track that day, yet she ran, you know, well enough that she won pretty handily that day.
Yeah, again, after she had the incident with the electrolyte imbalance, you know, we took care of that. And then I told Jimmy and Vinny, I called Jimmy Krugman, I spoke to Vinny. I said, listen, let's find a spot for her where we could get, you know, get her get her encouraged again, you know, find a nice spot for her. And I told him, you know, that's not her best business, but let's take a shot at it. And it worked out. And then, you know, I knew I was pointing towards this race towards the end of the year. I knew this was going to be the spot that I was going to try to get the black type and win. So I talked to him and I said, there's a spot. I had this filly actually entered with another filly I trained called Diamond Play on the 29th at Parks. But there was a race at Parks and a race at Penn. The race at Penn was a mile and a 16th, and it was I believe it was a better spot for Pleasant Mind, where she could get some, again, get her confidence going, and, you know, she wouldn't have to run as hard to beat them kind of horses up there, and it would be a good prep coming into this race. So the blinkers helped. She definitely is, you know, confident now, and I believe she's really prepared to move forward. You know, this race, and I also, Vinny told me, he said, listen, now we're going to run her another year. We're not going to just breed her after this. So I have a lot of high expectations for this filly, Pleasant Mind. I think you were going to see her win something really special, you know, next year also.
Talking with trainer Anthony Morgata Jr. He'll send out Pleasant Mind later on today down in race number 6 at Laurel V. Safely kept. Post time for that race, 2:14 Eastern time. What's the winter plan, Ant? We're heading down to Florida?
Yeah, here's the winter plan. I have 10 stable down at Tampa as we speak. I'm going to run this filly, and then she will head down there on Monday. I've got several turned out at Croupy's Newcastle. Again, I'm privileged to be, you know, Jimmy's a brother of mine, and I love him, and he's been a great supporter of mine. As you know, I was listening last night to, you know, the May 25th, you know, show that we did, Jude, you know, with
The trainer talk show.
You know, yeah, and I was reflecting on what we talked about there and what's going on today in my life, and I'll tell you, it's amazing how, you know, the stuff we discussed and the language of the heart and the gifts that God has blessed me and my stable with. We have 7 for Mr. Viola, Teresa, and Vinny down there at Tampa Bay. And there's, you know, you were talking about Scad Daddy, and we're talking about Unbridled Song, and we're talking about Bodie Meister. And this is just real fruits of, you know, doing the right thing, getting up, doing your job, doing the right thing. It's a real blessing. I'm really, really a blessed man. You know, you guys heard the story about my life. You know what's going on, and you know what, I have to bring it up because it's important to me to keep that in the form. You know, the Surgeon General the other day makes a statement and says that the addiction in this country, okay, nearly 21 million people have an addiction to alcohol and drugs. It's an epidemic, and I went through that. And you see, 1 in 7 people in this country are going to have that problem. 1 in every 3 households is going to deal with this in America. So, you know, the training horses is what I love to do. And there's only one thing I love doing more than what I'm going to do today. Now I'm going to be in the car going to Maryland. I'm going to have lunch. I'm going to saddle a horse and a stake and hopefully win it. But there's only one thing I love doing more, and that's saving somebody's life. So if somebody's out there listening, or you, and I know there is, and I know there's somebody you know that has a problem, reach out to me personally. I'm easy to get a hold of. And you talk to me, and I'll put you in the right direction. Because I know what it's like to wake up in the morning and say, oh, no, not another day I got to deal with. So I had to bring it up, fellas, because I really, that's my, you know, that's the only thing I love doing more than training these horses.
Well, I know that's the truth, and the day that I visited you at your barn at Monmouth, you were taking somebody that day to their first AA meeting. And I know you're very proactive with people on the backside, and you're very open about your past issues. And I couldn't be happier for you that you're having such a great year. And I hope it's just the beginning of some more great years to come.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I, you know, I think I speak for a lot of people, Anthony, and you got a good 15 years on me, but a lot of people are proud of you and what you've done and what you've been able to overcome and how you've been able to put the past away. And really, but you always had a ton of talent. You always knew your way around the racehorse, and that you're able to get your personal life straightened out. It's showing, once again, hitting the 25%, and you got a really nice filly on your hands. Hopefully she gets that black type in the money today.
Yes, yes, that's great. Yeah, I'm sure looking forward to it.
All right, Ann, thanks for some time this morning. Get on 95 and get down to Maryland.
Yeah, hey guys, listen, again, thank you so much. I'm really grateful. God bless you guys, and let's get to the winner's circle today.
Sounds great.
All right, good luck. We'll talk to you soon. We'll check in a few months with you.
Yeah, please do. Thank you so much.
You got it. Anthony Margotta Jr., he'll send out Pleasant Mind in the Safely Kept later on this afternoon down at Laurel Park. Really amazing story, Jude.
Yeah, it really is, and that's cool. He was listening to the Trainer Talk show that we did. He was listening to it last night, and it is a really good show. It's riveting, really. Mike and I sat here and listened to his story, and we were just, you know, glued to every
best
word.
Best one you guys ever did. The best one you guys ever did. Yeah. It's not even close. I don't even think it's close. They're all great. I don't even think it's close. I think it's the best one that we've run here on the Horse Racing Radio.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's fantastic. You can go back, like Anthony said, it aired in May, so May 25th. Head back to horseracingradio.net and take a listen in podcast form. We'll take a break. When we come back, Jude and I shoot the breeze a little bit, and we'll have in hour number two, Brian Lynch, who has a couple in the stakes here at the Big A today, fled in the notebook, and Heart to Heart figures to be the favorite in the Artie Schiller, and later on Fred Hutton, director of racing operations at Zia Park, for their Land of Enchantment Day this Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve. You'll hear all of the Land of Enchantment stakes as well as the Penn Thanksgiving sprints right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We'll be back in just a few. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest days.
Bred for greatness and a brilliant Grade 1 winner on the track, Airdrie Studs Creative Cause is giving every indication that his may be a very special future at stud. Already represented by the undefeated and dominant Landalusie Stakes winner, the one we waited for, Creative Cause currently sits second on the first crop sire list, and with impressive maiden special weight winners throughout the nation, appears poised to lead this banner stallion crop in 2016 and beyond. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
Mark your calendars for the 4th annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 23rd from Zia Park. 12 thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth more than $1.6 million in purse money. Featured races are the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Park Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship. First post is 12:15 p.m. Mountain Time, 2:15 Eastern. Horse Racing Radio Network is the exclusive radio host for the Land of Enchantment card and Penn Gaming Racing Challenge.
Hey everyone, Mike Penna here. If you're in Kentucky and you love wine, you need to experience Lover's Leap Vineyards and Winery in Lawrenceburg. Just a short drive from Lexington, Lover's Leap is one of the oldest and largest vineyards in Kentucky. Stop in for an educational wine tasting or do what I love most. Simply kick back and relax on their wraparound porch while enjoying the view with a glass of their exceptional wine. And I can tell you, their wines are the perfect fit for all of your farm and company parties. So stop by for a visit today. It's Lover's Leap Winery in Lawrenceburg.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is Al Stahl, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Good Samaritan obliged to travel very deep past the quarter pole with six or seven lengths to pick up. Oscar Performance, the new leader at the 3/16 pole, getting the head and now the body in front from the early leader, well-abled. Then Lancaster Bomber and Good Samaritan running home well, but Oscar Performance is well clear. In second spot, Lancaster Bomber and then Good Samaritan, but Oscar Performance has won it by a length and a half. Lancaster Bomber second, ahead in front of Good Samaritan, and Ticonderoga finishing furiously into the superfecta.
I know the Pontiff could listen to that replay over and over again. Oscar Performance gets the money in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jude Fell down in Lexington. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up here in New York. I'm sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Oscar Performance's trainer, Brian Lynch, will join us in just about 10 minutes or so to talk about his stakes runners this afternoon. He's got a good one on his hands, though, Jude, and Oscar Performance. Looking forward to talking to Brian a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's just a fantastic horse, and anybody that saw his maiden breaker at Saratoga had to be impressed, and right away he gave me that big brown feel. He was just so dominant. It was his second start. First start, he kind of wasn't in the race much, but second time out, he just blasted off and put the field away, and I thought, wow, this is really a nice horse. Been on him ever since. Loved him in the Breeders' Cup. My best bet of the day. My biggest bet of the day, and thank God he got the candy, because it made me nice and loose for the rest of the 2 days. So it was fantastic to watch him win. Brian Lynch, really good fella, known him a long, long time. We've been friends for many years, and I was really happy for Ammerman Racing too, that my brother's been their advisor for a long time, probably at least 15 years. And you know, my brother purchased the dam of Oscar Performance, and he was a homebred for Mrs. Ammerman, and just delighted for the whole crew there too. So it was a big win all the way around, but he's a very talented horse.
Not a bad broodmare. She has at least two stakes winners now, as Oscar Performance's brother Oscar nominated stakes winner as well. He won the Spiral.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's always fun when you breed a nice horse, but when you breed a Breeders' Cup winner, that's what it's all about. And yeah, it was something else. I don't know if he can run on the dirt. If he can, he could be a Derby horse possibly. I really love him on the turf, though.
And, you know, I'm glad you brought it up. We're going to talk about the two-year-olds a little later on. We'll talk a little bit about the Delta Jackpot, the Bob Hope, later on the road to the Kentucky Derby presented by Gainsway. That'll come up in hour number two as well. But
Bill Mott trained the third place finisher in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, Good Samaritan, who did not have the cleanest of trips. Maybe he could have gotten second that day. Some people even argue maybe he could have won it that day. You see a horse like Oscar Performance, who's run all four of his starts on the dirt, 3 for 4, including a Breeders' Cup win. You were a trainer for a very long time, and I know Mott actually had first preferenced Good Samaritan into the juvenile on the dirt with no dirt experience under his belt. Do you get tempted because they're two-year-olds and you only get one shot at the Derby? Do you get that tempted when you have a turf runner as good as Oscar Performance, as good as Good Samaritan, and say to yourself, well, at some point, I got to try this horse on the dirt?
For me personally, I wouldn't. I mean, I love grass racing. It's really my thing, and I wouldn't be tempted. Although, at one time, I was considered pretty good at switching horses from turf to dirt. Veal Vin, one of the best horses that I ever trained, she ran on the dirt and won $500,000 after having a career in Europe on the turf. And that came about rather accidentally. I love grass racing, and if I had Oscar Performance, he'd probably never see the dirt. I mean, as good as he is now, I just feel like if you got something going good for you, why tempt fate? I've always wondered, people have sprinters and they always want to stretch them out. They want to make them, milers or mile and the 16, mile and an eighth horses. I've never understood that. I mean, if a horse is running great every time he runs, going 6 furlongs, 6.5, 7, why do you need the 2-turn thing? I don't know. I guess I'm more conservative than I appear, but I don't feel that. I don't feel that urge. I mean, I know how hard it is to win, and I know how hard it is to have a nice horse. And if I had a sprinter, I wasn't really anxious to run him long. And if I had a turf horse, I wasn't anxious to run him on the dirt. Sometimes you run dirt horses on the turf, hoping that they run better. But, that's not exactly a great thing either, depending on their pedigree. So, I say run them where they fit, where they enjoy racing. That's the best place to run them.
I'm going to get this coined, I'm going to get this going this Derby prep season. That's called the Teufelsberg syndrome.
Yeah.
Where you try to take a horse that can't get a step past 7 furlongs to go 10.
Yeah.
It's Teufelsberg. It's not Derby fever anymore. Derby fever is different. Derby fever is when you have a horse that can go the 8 or 9 furlongs but just isn't good enough. That's Derby fever. Teufelsberg syndrome is when you're trying to take a trying to take a horse that can't go 7/8 to go 10 furlongs.
Yeah.
Will you help me?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, you see that happen a lot. I mean,
every year.
Yeah,
it happens
yeah.
every year.
And you just go, what are these people thinking? I mean, it's kind of like the run happy deal with the mile. You got the best, you got the fastest horse in the world, maybe, and you want to run him a mile? Why do you want to do that? I don't get it, but hey, I wasn't training.
And he's the perfect example. He was a horse that you and I got to see win the King's Bishop together last year before Run Happy became Run Happy. And we were both just wowed. It's like, how he's fast. And it turned out he was one of the fastest horses, retired now, of course, to Claiborne Farm, one of the faster horses as far as horse flesh go, as far as natural talent, raw talent, that we've seen come around here in a very, very long time. And it's very simple to see overall, just poor management and poor decision-making. Beyond the poor management, the poor decision-making of not taking on those sprint foes this year, just one of the more mind-boggling. It's funny, though. It was refreshing. Chad Brown had a plethora of three-year-olds in the second half of the year, and one of them was Gift Box. And Gift Box wound up going off the favorite here last week in the Discovery at Aqueduct, and neither one of us liked him last week on the Weekend Stakes preview. And my problem with him was I didn't think he won any part of 2 turns. And, as a three-year-old, and he was a lightly raced three-year-old, you want to give him every chance. And he got beat again, and it's apparent. And Chad Brown came out and said, Gift Box is getting a break. and next year he's only going to run one turn. And I was like, that's refreshing to see that, because there are plenty of good one-turn races, great one-turn races, and it's refreshing to see a guy, you know, realizes what he has in his barn.
Yeah, well, especially a guy like Chad Brown, who doesn't run his horses very frequently, you got to make the best of your races, right? So if you're only running a horse four or five times a year, you know, you got to put them in where they can win. You can't be experimenting, you know, because you can experiment if you're running a horse 14 times a year, but if you're only running four or five, those races have to count, or you might as well just not have the horse in your barn, right? So,
exactly.
I mean, I think you know the status of the trainer and the mindset behind how they you know, spot their horses and stuff kind of dictates that you can't be doing too much fooling around. So
I could not agree with you more, Pontiff. For a fun first hour in the books, we're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Behold the Red Songbird, a soul-stirring duel, forever unbridled, two-lane back bird. Songbird and Beholder, Beholder and Songbird, a cliffhanger that could go either way.
Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Brigator is coming too. It is Destin in front, Brigator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Brigator, these two come down to the line together.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
But California Chrome has gone into overdrive. He's two lengths in front. He's clear. A foot to Hitch battling on. Then for sure wish, but it's California Chrome in front. It's Alchemy in Dubai. Chrome turns to gold.
Great Bong on the inside and Masochistic still battling it out. AP Indian making no impression. Mind Your Biscuits is bubbling to the surface. Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up in New York, filling in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Down in our Lexington studios, it's producer to the stars, Lee Delapina, as well as the Pontiff. You hear him every Saturday morning here on the Equine Forum. Jude Fell, thanks to Eric Johnston and Anthony Margotta Jr. for coming aboard in hour number one. And we'll get hour number two started off the right way. Brian Lynch, fresh off that Breeders' Cup victory with Oscar Performance in the Juvenile Turf, has a couple in the stakes here today at the Big A. Brian, welcome to the Equine Forum. It's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Hey, Anthony. How you doing, Jude?
Very good. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you.
Brian, before we get into today's action, talk a little bit about that big win with Oscar Performance in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf.
Well, as Jude knows, I spent a lot of time out there and sort of cut my teeth out there, so it's always nice to go back to Santa Anita where you've spent so much time and know so many people to be able to ring the bell on the big day. Very, very exciting.
What are the plans for him now? I'm assuming a little bit of a rest before a big three-year-old campaign next year?
Yeah. We'll take the tack off him till, you know, January 1st. I think he deserves a little bit of time there, and I think physically he's going to blossom through that period. We'll get him down there to Palm Meadows and keep him in the barn, but, we'll sort of monitor what he's doing, and we've got good turnout pens and everything down there. So start him up January 1st, which goes by pretty quick these days. You say that and you think it's a while away, but one thing I learned from old Charlie Whittingham in this business, the days are long, but the years fly by. So we'll look forward to a nice spring campaign, probably try and get him ready for Keeneland, the Transylvania, and then go from there for all the better, you know, three-year-old grass races through the spring and the summer.
So you're going to keep him on the grass. Is that the plan?
You know, he's a kitten's joy out of a theatrical mare, and he's 3 out of 4 on the grass, so I'd say we're not going to get too creative with him. We'll keep him where he seems to be most comfortable.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. I was going to say, you just made Jude very happy, Brian. We were talking about this a little earlier about, about trying to resist the Derby fever, and it sounds like you're pretty level-headed when it comes to the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, you know, as he's been a horse that's got through quite a bit of his work on the dirt and always looked comfortable working on it, but I seriously doubt he's, a mile and a quarter on the first Saturday in May is what he's looking for. I think he's looking for all the good 3-year-old grass races around the coast.
And you're so good at keeping horses together for a career. I think that's one of the strong points of having a horse with Brian Lynch, is that you're not looking, you know, at a meet or a year. You're looking at a horse's lifetime, and you've got a history of having horses race at an older age, and you know, clients like the Ammermans, they're not interested in winning the Derby necessarily. They're more interested in having a horse that's really nice that they can go out and watch with pride on a regular basis.
Yeah, very true, June. And it's, you know, guy considers himself very lucky to be able to train for them sort of patient people. If one needs a little bit of time, or if you felt one's giving you a good strong campaign and he deserves a little bit of time, then they're always happy to listen to you and do the right thing by the horse. So very fortunate to be in that position.
Perhaps no better evidence to your longevity as far as your horse's careers goes than with the favorite in today's Artie Schiller here at Aqueduct. He'll go a flat mile on the turf, chasing 150,000 heart to heart at the end of his 5-year-old year now, 10 for 23 in his career. You've kept him going for a long time, Brian, and you've picked off a lot of money and a lot of stakes races, graded stakes races with him. Just talk a little bit about his career in its entirety.
Yeah, you know, we got lost a little bit early in his career because he was a Canadian bred. There was always, always hope that he'd want to run that far on the poly track, and the Queen's Plate was, you know, was on the radar, but I never did feel he was comfortable on the poly. He was just a different horse. Even one turn racing up in Canada on the grass, I thought he struggled with that. He's definitely a two turn sort of grass horse. Even the poker and them sort of races in New York in the summer are one turn races. I never think he's that effective on them sort of tracks. I always felt like one of his biggest assets is he runs the turns. Unbelievable, that little horse. I think sometimes if he makes a lead, he goes into the turn and they think, we'll just take a little hold, he's going to come back. But by the time they come out the turn, he runs them so well and comfortably, he's opened up on them. And then he's very comfortable travelling down the backside. And then, they think, whoa, he's got away on us a little bit. And then the next turn comes up and he runs that so well that he seems to steal races there, I've always felt, anyway. And then he has the ability, if he hasn't been pressed, that he can sort of shake loose at the bottom of the lane, and he's been a very effective little miler, and, you know, I'm always very proud of him when he gets a mile and an eighth, and the other day to get that off the layoff, even though he got to dictate the terms in the Knickerbocker, I felt like Jay Gatsby's a legitimate horse, run some big races this summer, and, you know, he ran them off their feet the last part. They couldn't get to him, so. And he's been a horse that we've sort of, like you say, we've tried to manage him properly, and I've always felt that as much as we love him and think he's a very talented horse, I've always thought he may be a cut below the really good horses in the good summer race, and so I have always tended to, you know, give him a break through the summer, and, you know, I've sort of experimented with him last year, taking him to Florida and letting him try the, you know, that grass series down there, and he was very effective. He won the Fort Lauderdale, he won the Canadian. And our main goal was probably to have a good grass horse coming out of Florida ready and have a crack at the Maker's Mark in the spring. And we were unlucky that day that Graham had the filly in there against the boys, which, was a game move, but ended up being a very smart move because she run her eyes out that day. And I thought we run fantastic to be second because we had a rabbit go with us most of the way that day, but hey, listen, we were second to a filly that's gone on and done a lot, so it was a very legit race. So, and then I sort of give him the summer off after that, and this time of year he either runs in the River City Handicap there at Churchill, or, you know, we tried him in the Knickerbocker, and I thought I'd just keep him here in New York and run him in the Artie Schiller, and then we'd have him for a Gulfstream again, you know, for them same sort of races, the Fort Lauderdale, the Canadian, and hopefully still have him on top of his game and have another crack at the Maker's Mark in the spring.
So that's the plan. I'm sorry, go ahead.
He doesn't need to have any particular course. He you know, the courses that he's won on are all pretty different. Belmont, Gulfstream, Monmouth Park, Churchill Downs. I mean, he runs whether the course is speed favoring or maybe closer favoring. It doesn't seem to matter to him. He's just got that great speed and enough turn of foot to hold off all of his challengers. I think that's pretty unique amongst turf horses.
Yeah, he is, dude, and he's not a real big guy, and he's an easy horse to get a soft spot when he's in your barn because he's very unassuming. You wouldn't know. He never causes any problems. He eats all his grain, goes about his business like a true little pro, and he's just a gentleman to be around. And the fact that he's not real big, and yet when you lead him over there and you see some of the size of the grass horses that he runs against, you can't help but be, think that he's very appropriately named. Got a big heart.
Yeah, and he's got the big heart right on his face too. That's one of the coolest markings that I've ever seen on a horse.
Yeah. So we're hoping to get the outside post today. King Carissa should show some speed, and we'll just let Irad seem to get along with him very well. We'll just let him break, see where he's comfortable, and I've got a gut feeling he's sitting on a big race today. He came out of the Knickerbocker in really good order. We shortened up to a mile. I think that's his preferable distance, and he goes into it in really good order. I mean, of an afternoon when they walk the horses in the barn there, you watch him in the shed row, he's on his game. He's really feeling well, and he's carrying great body condition for this time of year, and I think he should run very well this afternoon.
He should love this racetrack, too. And we're talking with trainer Brian Lynch. He has heart-to-heart, and the Artie Schiller fled in the notebook, which we'll get to in a minute. If he likes turns, he should love it here at Aqueduct. 7/8 turf course, tight turns. He might really be able to run him off his feet here. He's never run here at Aqueduct, but like Jude said, he seems to take his course with him.
Yeah. No, looking forward to it.
Earlier on the card, Brian, in race number 5, the third running of the notebook, you have fled going 6 furlongs against New York Breds. This is a horse that you've run 3 times. He really seemed to turn it on when you added Lasix last time. Joel Rosario rides today.
Yeah. Whether the Lasix contributed to that, I just think, it was his third start. He seemed to work it out a bit. His first start at Saratoga, he was on a sloppy track. He broke a bit slow and got a lot of mud kicked back at him, but made a nice move, and I think he ended up hitting the board that day. And then his second start, he improved again. And I think, I'm sure the Lasix may have had a little bit to do with it, but I just think with racing, he just got better. This time of the year, how much can two-year-olds done? Obviously, a few of them have run in stakes and that, but they're all lightly raced horses, so... he's a beautiful, big, strong-looking colt. I think he's getting better with time, and felt like he deserves a chance. 15-1, definitely worth a little bit across the board for sure.
He had a really nice blowout too, 47-2, best of the morning. How was that workout?
Yeah, Judy's like I said, I couldn't be happy with him coming up into this race. I mean, you've had enough of them over the years, the two-year-olds towards the end of the year when you've trained on them a bit, some of them will get sour, get a little soft on you, or others will get real sound, and this colt's just got real sound, and his works have just got better and better, and he's just got bigger and stronger. So, it'd be nice to cap off his two-year-old campaign with a good effort today, and look forward to a nice three-year-old campaign with him.
Brian, we know you have a busy day. Before we let you go, we're a little interactive here at the Horse Racing Radio Network, and our fans tweeted us all the time. Actually, have a fan that wanted me to ask you about your two juvenile fillies in the 9th race at Aqueduct on Sunday.
Yep.
What do we think about those two?
Well, Pert's been running up in Canada, and probably I really like her at a mile. That's probably what she wants to do. But I really liked the Divine Miss Grey. We had the opportunity to work her on the grass when we were at Saratoga this summer, and she was entered in on the grass the other day, come off on a muddy track. But when we worked her on the grass up on the training track at Saratoga, she really worked well and had a lovely turn of foot. So looking forward to seeing her go on a mile. And I think Pert, you know, she's going to be a competitive too. I mean, she comes out of two decent races up there, probably needed a first race, made the lead, looked like she was going to get it done and got a little tired. That was against the boys. And then sort of ran an even third on the Polly that day and probably she's probably trying to tell us she wants to go a bit further, and I think she's going to be much more comfortable on the grass. So
well,
I got
Brian,
two good
HR
shots.
And
a bit of a tough meet over there, this meet. I'm like needing to win one. And I think the maiden we've got in, Oxford Circus, he comes out of a very key race the other day, draws the outside. Got good tactical speed, should be getting himself into a good position around the quarter pole, and I think he's sitting on a very good race too. So hopefully we can maybe bang a few out today before we go down to Florida, and things won't be so bad.
Well, Brian, thank you for the time this morning. Best of luck over the weekend here at the Big A and down in Florida, where Oscar Performance awaits a strong 3-year-old campaign for the Brian Lynch Barn. Brian, thanks. We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Brian Lynch. We try to appease the nation if we can here, Jude.
Well, you know, everybody wants to have some inside information. There you go. It doesn't get any better than that. You're right from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So looking forward to those races. Oxford Circus is in today. In the, what race is that?
That was bonus information. I didn't even ask him about today. I asked him about tomorrow.
Yeah, that's...
he was firing away.
That's the maiden special weight today at Aqueduct. As the Europeans say, the 317. It's the seventh race.
part of the pick four.
So that's a horse to keep an eye on. He drew the 12 hole. He's 5-2, so not a massive price there, but always good to know that a horse is doing well and headed in the right direction.
And, of course, we can help you a little bit with that late pick four at Aqueduct today. Just go back to horseracingradio.net after the Equine Forum's over and take a listen to the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview podcast. Jude and I go over both the Notebook, where Fled is 15-1, as well as the Artie Schiller. That's part of the pick four. Heart-to-Heart figures to be the favorite in there for Brian Lynch, but we handicapped 11 races in all for the weekend. You can go back and listen to that in podcast form. And don't forget, when Jude and I wrap up at 10 o'clock, for our Spanish-speaking listeners, head over to HRRN in Español, Hablando de Epismo, with Del Potro, Roberto Rodriguez, and Eloy Vielma. They will take you through an hour of all Spanish previews, interviews, hot topic info. Hablando de Epismo. 10-11 at HRRNEspanol.com. How's my Spanish, Jude? Is it all right?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Spanish with the New York accent.
It's
international.
It's better than
very international.
Roberto Rodriguez told me that it's better than the Barons, and that's all I was worried about.
Well, he's a gringo, what can I tell you?
It's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Speaking of Miss Temple City heading to Del Mar. Trainer Graham Motion will keep multiple Grade 1 winner Miss Temple City stateside for the near future with a return to Royal Ascot the Goal for the 4-year-old Temple City filly next June. While Miss Temple City was invited to the December 11th Hong Kong Mile, a race champion Turf Mare Teppan also opted to bypass. Motion's runner will instead contest the December 4th Grade 1 Matriarch Stakes at Del Mar. Motion said the filly's connections regrouped on their strategy for 2017, hoping to be able to bring her back to England in the spring. She finished 4th in the June 15th Grade 2 Duke of Cambridge Stakes. Air this season. And that wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Blood Horse Magazine is the thoroughbred industry's premier weekly publication, celebrating 100 years of covering racing, breeding, and more. If you're not reading Blood Horse, sign up today and don't miss another issue at bloodhorse.com/subscribe. Brian Lynch just got done talking a little bit about Miss Temple City. She beat Heart to Heart in the Makers 46 Mile earlier this year, one of her two grade ones against the boys at Keeneland. She, of course, went on to win the Shadwell Turf Mile in the fall. And I know, of course, as the nation knows, Jude, one that is near and dear to your heart.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be in the director's room at Keeneland twice in one year. that's a personal record for me. Yeah, she's an amazing filly. She's really done some wonderful things, and Graham Motion's done an outstanding job with her. I really enjoy watching her run. She's a big star in my family, and it's just great to have a filly of that quality, and you know, even things like being invited to Hong Kong. I mean, how cool is that? And, sure. You know, Ascot, my brother Bob and my nephew Sean, they really want to win a race at Ascot. You know, I'm not so sure that's her favorite course, but she had not a very good trip the first time she ran there. Last time, I don't know if the ground suited her, but these are things that are always going to happen at Ascot. So, right. And me being,
I'm always blaming riders. I didn't like either trip.
Yeah.
I didn't love either trip.
Yeah.
So,
well, it was funny because I Johnny V, who's arguably, you know, maybe the best rider in the United States. You know, he had a little bit of a struggle with her, there. And then, you know, Ryan Moore last time, before the race, Ryan Moore wasn't really thinking that she could win the race. And after the race, he'd kind of changed his opinion. So I think he didn't ride her the way that he would have ridden her had he thought she had a big chance, but he was dutifully impressed with her afterwards. And I don't know whether that's going to translate into him wanting to get back on her this year or next year rather, or if, you know, somebody else will be aboard. But you know, it's always tough. Ascot's, you know, one of the best race meetings in the world, and so it's not an easy spot, but it's a goal that I think Graham relishes, and of course my brother and my nephew do too. So we'll see what happens down the line, but this race at Del Mar should be a pretty cherry spot for her, and hopefully she travels well and gets the job done and takes another grade one.
I feel like when U.S. runners go over to Europe or almost any international destination, it's BYOJ. It's bring your own jockey, because I don't think we get the respect, especially on the turf, from some of these foreign riders. So I always felt more comfortable when a U.S. runner traveled with their rider.
Yeah. Well, you've got
my two cents to the Miss Temple City camp.
Right.
Bring an American rider with you.
ideally, you want somebody that can middle it. Now we saw Julian Leperoux. His first ride at Ascot was on Teppan, right? And he got the job done, and that was over a course that she didn't particularly like, but she got the job done. You know, so and the Miss Temple City Brain Trust has tried bringing their own, and they've tried the best rider in the world, arguably. Well, maybe other than the Magic Man in Hong Kong, but you know, it's one of those things where, you know, the jockey is part of the puzzle, but it's not the whole story, and which is unusual for me to say.
Me too.
But
I was going to say, I'm the guy that managed to knock John Velasquez and Ryan Moore in the same sentence just now. I don't like either Ryan.
Yeah, well, and that happens, you know. I mean, I think you certain riders suit certain horses, and it happens. It's one of those. one of those things. But it'll be interesting to see what the selection is this year for a rider, and if there's a victory or another excuse, we'll have to see.
It's great to just be talking about a filly of her talent staying in training at five. You know, more often than not, I mean, you know, well, she's got to be worth an awful lot of money as a broodmare. It's great to see them, you know, not because they're family around here, but it's great to see them keep her in training. And not only keep her in training, but have a pretty ambitious campaign. I mean, I would imagine they're going to try the boys again. They were pretty good at it this year. And, you know, obviously going over to Royal Ascot, it appears to be another ambitious campaign for Miss Temple City lined up for a five-year-old season.
Yeah, she, you know, it's the fun factor. I got to tell you, you know, and that's the reason that a lot of people are in the business. But, you know, my family's been in the business since before I was born. You know, we're having the time of our life with this filly. She's just amazing. We all wish my dad was around to see it. I mean, he would be going crazy. He'd probably be Miss Temple City'd out. He'd be wearing jackets and hats and stuff all the time if he was still alive. But I mean, it's the fun factor. They can't. It's irreplaceable, you know. And yeah, she's worth a lot of money and all of that stuff. But it's just, you know, having a horse like that. You know, we've all dreamed about having a nice horse, a grade one winner, a top class horse, and to have it actually happen with a horse that my brother bred is insane. And, you know, it's one of those things where, well, that doesn't happen to us, you know, and it's just fantastic. And the fact that, you know, Graham is so involved with this filly and loves her so much and has a special relationship with her. He said it's the best filly he's ever trained, which, you know, that certainly picked up my head the first time I heard him say that. And you know, it's just, it's irreplaceable. And I think, you know, the boys are along for the ride as long as she's doing well and you know, she wants to keep doing it. So, It's been a pleasure, really, and I'm very privileged to that my brother has allowed me to, you know, participate in the fun. So it's really cool.
One of the many things we have to look forward to in the sport of thoroughbred racing is the return of Miss Temple City next year. The other, of course, well, one of them perennially, is the road to the Kentucky Derby, and we will get on the road to Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainesway Farm, when we come back. You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mark your calendars for the 4th Annual Land of Enchantment Day on Wednesday, November 23rd from Zia Park. 12 thoroughbred and quarter horse stakes races worth more than $1.6 million in purse money. Featured races are the $300,000 Zia Park Oaks, the $200,000 Zia Park Derby, and the $150,000 Zia Park Championship. First post is 12:15 p.m. Mountain Time, 2:15 Eastern. Horse Racing Radio Network is the exclusive radio host for the Land of Enchantment card and Penn Gaming Racing Challenge.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a 7-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now a classic producing sire and the sire of a Breeders' Cup sprint winner with his first crop.
Dray Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dray Fong's the leader. Dray Fong has won.
In addition to Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint and King's Bishop winner Dray Fong, Gio Ponti is also represented by Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs and Julien Leparoux. Sir Dudley Diggs has hit the front. And Sir Dudley Diggs from Amis Gizmo. Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by 2.
Justin Phillip's first yearlings have been well-received in 2016. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Flat Out Fast.
Flat Out by 3 coming down to the wire, and Flat Out is gonna do it.
Flat Out Tough.
And here comes Flat Out, pulls Full Out, and on by to take the lead as they come to the wire.
Flat Out Sound.
Into the final 16th of a mile,
and Flat Out is going to prevail.
A three-time Grade 1 winner of more than $3.6 million. Flat Out, North America's leading earner at stud from the AP Indy Sire line. Standing at Spindthrift, the Breeders' Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Front Loaded continues to make up some ground, but with a 16th to go, Squadron's now opening up. Squadron is up by about three, and it's all Squadron in the juvenile turf.
Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners' two-year-old Squadron was impressive, winning his grass and stakes debut in the $100,000 juvenile turf at Gulfstream Park West last Saturday. The $60,000 Phasic Tipton July yearling sale bargain stocked the pace and drew away in the stretch to post a 3.25 length victory. Squadron is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Midshipman was the fastest ever Breeders' Cup juvenile winner and has already sired a dozen stakes winners, including 11-time stakes winner Lady Shipman. Squadron becomes Midshipman's ninth black type winner of this year, more than any other third crop sire. He'll stand at Darley for just $8,500 in 2017. Learn more at DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're into the stretch. Recruiting Ready is the leader. Recruiting Ready in front. Gunavera has made progress on the outside from last into second, but Recruiting Ready has kicked away to a four-length lead here. Gunavera is trying to cut into that gap in second, passing the 16th pole. Recruiting Ready, Gunavera coming up on the outside. Oh, he's got him! Gunavera has won the Saratoga Special, running down Recruiting Ready. Then it was Tip Tap Tapazar and Sonic Mule. The final time was 1 minute, 17 seconds flat. He was so far behind early, but he ran him down to the stretch, and Javier Castellanos on a roll today.
Gunavera got up to take the Grade 2 Saratoga Special up at the Spa this past summer. He's your 5-2 morning line favorite in this afternoon's Grade 3 $1 million Delta jackpot. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, sitting in for the vacationing Mike Penna. Jude Feld in his usual spot down in our Lexington, Kentucky studios with our producer to the stars here at HRRN, Lee Delapina. I almost feel like, Jude, that when I say $1 million, I need to put my pinky to my tooth like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, $1 million.
Exactly. And Gunavera down at the Delta jackpot will try to get on the road to the Kentucky Derby. And we are on the road to Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway.
This is the Road to the Kentucky Derby, presented by Gainsway.
Stakes action abounds around the country this weekend, but two-year-old races that could very well have some implications on the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs next year are the Delta Jackpot down at Delta Downs, and, of course, the Bob Hope out in Del Mar later on today. Let's talk a little bit about this Delta Jackpot, Judah, and the two-year-old picture in general. We were treated to a very good juvenile this year. I thought that field out at the Breeders' Cup was second to none, a Kentucky Derby preview, if you will, and we were not disappointed by the performances of Classic Empire, and not this time.
Yeah, no, it was a very good juvenile, I thought, and those two horses are 1-2 on my list going forward. Classic Empire, super impressive 2-year-old, and Not This Time, a horse that Dale Romans was virtually sure that he was going to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and so that goes to show how good Classic Empire really is, and both horses ran very well, and I think they have a bright future. I'd really like to see him, you know, hook up and create a rivalry going into the Kentucky Derby, but they'll probably duck one another in typical fashion, but we'll see how that goes. Very nice horses, both of them, and I think they could really push one another up the ladder. Practical Joke, you know, he's another nice one. We got a horse in the Bing Crosby or the Bob Hope rather today that looks like, you know, he might be the real deal too. California Diamond, who just keeps on running and winning. I love the fact that trainer Pete Miller continues to run him on a regular basis, and you know, you throw in horses like Three Rules and Gormley and Syndergaard and McCracken. I mean, it's a really deep bunch of three-year-olds right now, I think.
And a few things have changed about this Delta Jackpot that's going to run this afternoon as the first thing. It used to be a night card down at Delta. They've moved it to the afternoon. That's number one. It'll go at 5:45 Eastern time, the Delta Jackpot. That's one. Two, this used a win in this race used to assure a spot in the Breeders' Cup, in the Kentucky Derby, rather, based on the old earnings system. Now with the point system in place, certainly does not, it far from assures you a spot in the Kentucky Derby, but there's still a million hammers on the line down there. You get a field of 10. And you and I went over this race again on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview, but Gunavera comes in, and speaking of Classic Empire, we see Gunavera less than 7 lengths behind him last time in the Breeders' Futurity. Rider change back to Javier Castellano now, who was aboard for the Saratoga Special, and despite his lack of experience, just one race going a distance of ground, a deserving favorite in this race this afternoon.
Yeah, he's a very talented horse. He's by Dialed In, who's a red hot sire. You know, what a great bargain he was at the Keeneland Yearling Sale in 2015, $16,000 purchase. He's already banked $171,000 and is certainly a horse that's entrenched on the Derby trail right now. He certainly has a big chance to win. You know, there's other horses in here that look pretty salty. I kind of fancy Hot Sean from the Bob Baffert stable, and boy, is he stacked with three-year-olds, not or coming three-year-olds. Not that anybody would
what
be surprised, yeah. But this horse, he runs hard every time. He has 2 wins and a second and 3 starts. He has 2 turn experience. He just won an allowance race going a mile, albeit against a 5-horse field. But we've seen horses like Arrogate come out of 5-horse fields and run through their bridles, not to compare
3-horse field. Even a 3-horse field.
Yeah, not to compare him to that one. But this is a son of Flatter out of a Cherokee Run mare. He should be able to get the distance, and you know, he's on his way up. Martin Pedroza rides him on the bull ring, arguably the one of the best bull riders in the bull ring riders in the country. So I think he's got a big chance, and you know, the pat on the back, he looks good. You know, he's a horse that's got talent. Tip Tap Tapazar, another one. J Boy's Echo. I mean, this is a pretty deep field. Pretty nice bunch of 3-year-olds in here, and I'm really looking forward to this race. I want to see how these horses run and where they may fit in the overall scheme of the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, Mark Cassio run a couple, Thirst for Life and Our Storm and Norman as well. He, of course, has Classic Empire. Don't want to call these two the B team, but when Classic Empire is in the barn, they're the B team. There's no other way really around it. But yeah, good bunch. You have Line Judge, the number 2, who won the local prep for this, the John Lafitte. When the Uber Caparella Star did the Weekend Stakes preview with me, he had to call up the John Lafitte the Pirate. He had to add the Pirate onto the end, even though it's not part of the official name of the race. We have Gunavera. Like I said last night on the Weekend Stakes preview, J-Boy's Echo, one of our callers from the Brisnet.com call-in show Thursday night, has J-Boy's Echo at 200-1 in the Kentucky Derby future wager out in Vegas. You know, glad to hear some of your thoughts. The first Kentucky Derby future wager sponsored by Churchill is next week. So I believe that pool opens Friday and runs through Sunday. And you have the 2 races this week, and we'll get to the Bob Hope and Mid, but you got the 2 races this week, a couple of races next week. So plenty going on with the 2-year-olds. We'll talk about the Bob Hope for a couple of minutes after a couple of words from Gainsway.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
Tapazar's going to keep Royal Trip at bay. And Tapazar, a sterling performance today.
Gainsway Stallion Tapazar is a Grade 1 winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable. And is Tappet's only Grade 1 winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10.5 lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4. Tapazar is currently ranked number 4 on the freshman sire list with two more exciting 2-year-old winners in Japan.
Power. Passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld. The Bob Hope, Jude, at the Bing Crosby meet, the Grade 3 out at Del Mar, 7 furlongs for the 35th running. Just a field of 5 in here. But a showdown between the well-seasoned California Diamonds, who will be making start number 8 of the year. Wow, June 17 debut to November 19. Looking at just about 5 months, 8 races in 5 months. That's pretty impressive in this day and age. Most horses don't run 8 times in 2 years. This horse did it in 5 months. And he takes on the debut winning Mastery, Bob Baffert, like you said, loaded with 2-year-olds, maybe no more talented than this one. The blinkers come off Mastery after a sparkling debut. What do you make of that move?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's not unprecedented, but they must have felt maybe he was a little too keen. Maybe they want to give him a little bit more of an education. You know, 2-year-olds, if you're trying to get him ready for the Kentucky Derby, you want him to be relaxed. So maybe taking the blinkers off will help him. Maybe he was looking around the blinkers. Maybe Bejarano came back and said something to Bob about, you know, this horse really didn't seem to like the blinkers too much. I don't know what the reasons are, but they come off. I don't think it's necessarily going to hurt him. He ran super fast, and you got Mike Smith on there. Maybe another indication to me. Now, Bejarano's hurt. So he's not riding, but it's another indication to me that maybe Baffert doesn't want to blast this horse off. Maybe he's trying to teach him a little bit more. If he's going to be looking at a race, you know, like the Derby or some of the Derby preps, he doesn't necessarily want him to, you know, blast out of there and go as fast as he can, as far as he can. That's fine first time out when horses don't know what they're doing, but you've got to teach them to ration that speed a little bit, and that might be another indication that that's the direction that they're headed. You know, California Diamond, he was so impressive. Kent DeSormo literally breezed this horse in the Golden State Juvenile Stakes on Breeders' Cup Day. Just, I mean, it couldn't have won any easier. A horse was in hand the entire time. It was the cheekiest ride. I tweeted out, I'd never seen a cheekier ride in a stakes race. I mean, this horse literally breezed around the racetrack. It was super impressive. He got a 94 Brisnet speed figure that day. Granted, it was against Cowbreds and stuff. He's beaten open company before. So I think he's very, very tough in here. He's got the outside draw, which is going to help him. He's drawn outside of Mastery. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, you know, how much does Baffert want to win this race? Is it really going to be an educational race for Mastery? In which case, California Diamond's probably going to win. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Another very interesting race goes at 5:30. So we got that race first, and then the Delta Downs jackpot after. So for people that love the Kentucky Derby and are interested in betting futures and that type of thing, these are two races you don't want to miss.
168 days, 7 hours, 50 minutes, and 56 seconds until the May 6th, 2017 Kentucky Derby, just in case the Baron is listening. One more break. When we come back, we'll have Fred Hutton the Director of Racing Operations at Zia Park, to talk about Land of Enchantment Day this Wednesday. You'll hear all the action right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest days.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
They're racing up to the wire. DeVisadero with a nose down in front to win it.
It is going to be Camelot Kitten. Camelot Kitten did it.
But the Christmas pass to Sharp Kitty by three.
A champion sire who continues to prove he's world class.
Tarif takes him on, and Tarif gets up to beat George Patton.
Inside the final 100 yards. Hawk Bill just going on to win the Eclipse.
Kitten's Joy. A world-class sire, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
And Streaks Bro in the back with a quarter mile to go in the Zia Park Derby. They run to the top of the stretch. Pain and Misery finds the lead. International Star is dropped off at the rail. And now Pain and Misery at the inside. Mobile Bay's running a big one. Final furlong to go. Mobile Bay, the outside, is coming on. Pain and Misery battles back. It's down to these two and 70 yards in the Derby. Mobile Bay, Pain and Misery. Photo finish in the Derby. Pain and Misery, Mobile Bay right there together.
Mobile Bay took the 2015 Zia Park Derby. He's back tomorrow for the Zia Park Championship Handicap. On Wednesday, I should say, when they will also run the Zia Park Derby. A ton of stakes for Land of Enchantment Day this Wednesday down at Zia Park. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Big A and the Pontiff. Wrapping things up here on a spectacular Saturday morning. Tons of great racing coming your way today and the entire weekend. Again, if you need to catch up and get yourself prepared the right way, head on over to horseracingradio.net and take a listen to the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview Podcast. The Pontiff and I go over 11 of the stakes to be contested this afternoon. And if you want to hear the Land of Enchantment Day action as well as the Thanksgiving sprints at Penn National, tune in here on Wednesday. We will have a supersized edition of Express Bet Radio. It'll start at 3 o'clock. We'll have some action from Aqueduct and Gulfstream Park West, and then we will dive right in to the Land of Enchantment Day stakes out at Zia, as well as those Thanksgiving sprints out at Penn National. 3 to 7:30, Sirius 219, XM 206, and, of course, streaming live worldwide at horseracingradio.net. That means no trainer talk presented by Fasic Tipton this week. But I got you covered, Jude. Don't worry about it.
All right. Well, I'll have to reschedule my guest.
Zia Park Derby. Are we thinking this is the last Derby of the year? Almost has to be, right?
It's probably getting close. You know, I don't know for sure. I'd have to confirm, but I think. What a brilliant idea to run this card on a Wednesday when racing at this time of year is, you know, on the downhill. I mean, this is like a bright spot in the middle of the week for horse players.
It's funny. I was joking around, and Megan Devine will be on the broadcast with me this Wednesday. My Thanksgiving Eve has evolved to a point where it went from handicapping Zia Park and Penn National till 7:30 at night, when it used to be Jack Daniels and Heineken till 7:30 in the morning.
That's good. See, it's healthier for you to be part of the broadcast.
It absolutely is. And we head out to Zia Park right now. Director of Racing Operations Freddie Hutton joins us here on the Equine Forum. Freddie, it's Anthony and Jude here. Welcome to the Equine Forum.
Hey, how you fellas doing?
Really good. Doing really good.
Awesome.
Doing good.
We're talking about how brilliant it was for you to put this card on a Wednesday when racing's kind of dead at this time of year. But now you're going to have all eyes on Zia Park on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny story how it fell together. And you know, we started this deal 4 years ago, and actually it was going to be a Saturday-Sunday equation, and weather got kind of, Mother Nature didn't play real well with us, and riders kind of didn't agree with the weather, and we wound up having to cancel that weekend. And, you know, we had horses that had flown in, and so we wound up keeping them here and scheduled it for that Wednesday. And, heck, it's been record handles for us the last 3 years, so we're hopefully we can break it this year. With this card.
Yeah, good card. You guys always put on a great show out at Zia, Freddie. The usual races on the program this year. You got to be happy with the Zia Park Championship before we get to the Derby and the Oaks. You get last year's Derby winner in Mobile Bay. You get last year's championship winner in Smack Smack. And you get... Well, one of the old pros around there, good old wide drinker who?
Correct, yeah. He's, you know, this race shaped up really, really nice. At first we thought we'd only have five or six, but as it developed, you know, and the way that they were weighted in there, just came out to be a, you know, a solid bunch. So should be a fun dash to watch.
Are you guys, in fact, Jude and I were just speculating on this, are you guys the last Derby of the year?
You know, when we first did this, we were kind of like the last dirt derby. I know, you know, there for a while, Hollywood Park, when they were running, they had a turf derby there. But, yeah, you know, this time of year, there's not too many more opportunities for these three-year-olds to match up against each other before they start to hit the older fellas. So, yeah, the last couple of years, this race has really kind of shaped up, you know, really well. And we're proud the way it developed, you know, for this coming Wednesday.
Yeah, you got a big field and, you know, a few horses that were on the Kentucky Derby trail earlier and the Triple Crown. So, you know, it's really cool that you get this type of participation. These fields are great. They're massive, and you got some key names in both the Derby and the Oaks. So it's got to be a lot to look forward to for the local fans.
Oh, no question. You know, again, I think the Derby's a very, very competitive race, you know, between Del Mar and Doug's Colt. You know, they look to be the two to beat. But, you know, when you look down through the balance of them, it is balanced. And I think that's what's the interesting thing, you know. And at the end of the day, that's why we line them up. I know when I used to ride, wasn't any kind of rider, but I went on a couple horses, paid over $100 and loved them, you know. So this should be interesting to see how this plays out, and just glad everybody really supported us the way they did for this Wednesday.
Speaking of support, Larry Jones seems to load up on you guys and send a bunch out there every year, and this year's no exception, and he's even bringing in his main man, Florent Giroux.
Yeah, you know, Larry's just a consummate horseman. Just have a absolute ton of respect for the fella. You know, I do Sam Houston's race meet too, and he comes in there with you know, with the horses for the Grade Three, you know, Houston Ladies Classic that we run there in late January. So yeah, he's a player. It's not beyond Larry, you know, saddling up and coming on down to line him up. So. Just a great guy, and he's been very supportive of our program. Can't say enough about him.
You got a lot of human stars, too. You know, besides Larry Jones and Florent Giroux, you got Donnie Von Hemel's coming in, and Doug O'Neill and Joe Rocco, and you got jocks like Martin Garcia, Kent DeSormo, named on horses. So it's kind of like a who's who there in New Mexico.
Well, you know, we're real proud that, you know, to be around these kind of fellas coming here to see you. Again, I think it's a compilation of, you know, four consecutive years of these races sitting out there and building the product, adding some races to it each year that, you know, gives a fella, if he's got 1 3-year-old, maybe a sprint horse, you know, he can bring them both. So, you know, we've got 9 stakes for this day, 10 race card. You know, again, it's a Wednesday, so... it's worked really well, especially for these you know, the big boys, because their riders can make it. They're not committed to, you know, a Saturday, Sunday at their other venues. So it's really worked out well for us.
What does a wagering menu look like?
You know, it we're basically the same. We didn't really change any format. You know, we got our pick threes, pick fours. Our super high five in the last with the Oaks, which I think is a very competitive race. You know, so the wagering menu's really pretty much been the status quo.
Well, Freddie, I know you wear about a dozen hats out at Zia Park, and one of them is stakes coordinator. You really did a fine job with this card, getting all of the stars, both equine and human, out to New Mexico. On Wednesday, you talk about growing it every year. You got the quarter horse stakes action before we'll pick up the coverage on Wednesday. That goes earlier in the day. So really a little something for everyone on this Land of Enchantment Day card this Wednesday.
Exactly. Thank you.
All right. Well, Freddie, good job as always. We'll talk to you down the road. And thanks for a few minutes this morning here on the Equine Forum.
My pleasure, guys. You all have a good weekend now.
You too.
All right. Freddie Hutton, director of racing operations, amongst other things, out at Zia Park. When I talked to Freddie on Thursday, I think he rattled off 7 titles. So we just lump them all. And director of racing ops, and we'd be remiss not to mention that this is the Wednesday, both at Zia and Penn National, wraps up the Penn Gaming Series, and we cover a ton of those races throughout the year here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And again, you'll be able to hear all the coverage this Wednesday of both Land of Enchantment Day as well as the Thanksgiving Penn Sprints. You'll hear it all here Wednesday. Coverage starts with Express Bet Radio at 3 p.m. and we go straight through 7:30. So 3 to 7:30, Sirius 219, XM 206, and of course streaming live at horseracingradio.net. Jude, this will be our last broadcast together before Thanksgiving. What's the Turkey Day plans?
The Turkey Day plans are I'm having all the lonely people in town over. my wife Gretchen's going to be in Reno visiting her brother and his family for Thanksgiving. And so I'm having a few people who also have their significant others and relatives out of town. So we're going to have probably a group of four or five of us. I'm going to cook what hopes to be a spectacular dinner, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I have partaken in the Travers Knight ziti. And if the Travers Knight ziti is any indication as to the Thanksgiving meal, your guests are in fine, fine shape this upcoming Thursday.
Well, thanks for the kind words. Are you staying home or are you going away?
I'll be home. Mama Dukes is making the bird and all the trimmings. I'll have about 3 pounds of stuffing in me when we get together for the weekend steaks preview next Friday.
That's a big bird.
22 pounds for 6 people, I think. I'm not even exaggerating. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Thanks to all of our guests, for Jude Feld and Lee Delapina. For everyone here at HRN, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile. We hope you have a great weekend. Jude, you got something to tell them?
Good night, Barbados.
I hope you win all your photo finishes. Have a great day, HRN Nation. We'll talk to you Wednesday.